I mean, you just don't. It's not like 98% of the yeast donut mom and pops out there right now. 98% of them use a mix.
Right, right.
Nothing's wrong with it. It tastes great. It's going to stay in the case a lot longer. You know, it's going to stay in the case 2 or 3 days. Where mine, I have to make mine for the day because it's only got flour, shortening, sugar, milk, water, baking powder, salt, yeast, love, a lot of love.
Welcome back to episode 51 of the Coffee and Ketchup Podcast. It's your boy, Mr. 17.5. We have got a very special guest. What?
17.5.
Mr. 17.5. I heard that on the way over here and thought I'd sneak that in.
Oh.
None of our listeners are going to get the reference.
It's okay. I don't get it.
As well as me.
You don't get the Mr. 17.5? Young Jeezy?
Perry, do you get it?
Had an entire song about it.
I don't either.
It's a Jeezy song. Had an entire song about it. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you choosing to be here with us. As you can see, we are joined by a very special guest. Some of you around this area may recognize him. We have Perry Williamson of the famous, always delicious, one-of-a-kind Williamson's Bakery, specializing in fresh home-baked goods since when, Perry?
Well, Williamson's has been around since 1965 with a name.
65.
But the actual bakery? Has been around since around 1927.
1927.
That's long.
And we goodness gracious.
Yeah, using the original recipe on the donuts.
Original recipe on the and more about the donuts coming up shortly for sure. For sure. I'm excited to talk about some donuts. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe down there in your bottom left or right hand corner of this page or screen you're looking on. It goes a long way to help us get some traction and tells YouTube to show this video to everybody. Be sure to like the video, comment down below. We've got a lot of good stuff to get into today. We're very excited for this episode. Anytime we get an opportunity to talk about food, we are going to be excited. And here we are. So we'll just start kind of where we always do. What, Perry, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got into this business?
Well, I was born in the Claxton Hospital on the... Bellevue?
Yeah. Which is
probably
now. Is this like formerly?
Now it's a lot, open lot now, isn't it? Owned by the First Baptist Church, I think, maybe.
Is that?
I thought the hospital.
No, it was straight across from the Piggly Wiggly.
Is that right?
It's that open lot, yeah, yeah. Dr. Bell delivered.
Who
also delivered my mother.
I'll be dog.
Okay, so across from the Piggly Wiggly.
And that open lot was the Claxton Hospital.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure
be.
Was. But I was born there, and
I just learned something.
Yeah, no doubt.
Somebody knows more about Dublin
of
than
course.
You do.
Yes.
How about that? He did not see that one coming.
Then after that, mother and father were in school in Athens, so lived in Athens, and then moved to Dublin. Dad started a career as a pharmacist. They were divorced when I was 2. Mother hung out in Dublin for a little bit, then she kind of spread her wings and moved up to Macon, and then from Macon to Atlanta, and I spent a lot of my life in Atlanta, Fulton County Schools, Cobb County Schools, military school for a short period of time, and then when I got a chance, when I decided where I wanted to go to college, I was like, you know, Bruton Parker sounds good. My great-grandfather went there, my grandfather went there, my mother, my father. Let's go to Bruton Parker. So Derek knows, and Brian both know, Taylor Millett and I, first cousins, we packed up and went to Bruton Parker. Yeah. And I came back to Dublin and started working in the forestry industry because my other grandfather was in that. So did a few odd jobs, you know, working in the forestry business for a long time, and just kind of led me back to Dublin to work for my stepfather in the oil remediation business. And I did that for about 10 years, and the opportunity just came knocking about the bakery, and I was like, you know what? I'm ready to get home. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to set my roots down. I was 48, not married yet. Or excuse me, I was 46, not married yet. And I'm like, you know what? It's time to grow some
settle
roots.
Down.
And next thing you know, I bought the bakery and kind of breathed a little life back into it. And it's taken off ever since then. It's been great.
That's awesome.
Been great.
That's awesome.
Been married since then for 5 years now and enjoying life.
That's so good, man. That's awesome.
So if anybody doesn't know, he bought the bakery, but prior to that, the name, if you will, explain a little bit about it being in the family prior to you buying it.
So we're... We've decided that the we've kind of had to guess when the when Blue Ribbon mm-hmm. Bakery started, the original bakery mm-hmm. in Dublin, that did cakes and pies and actually had the original donut recipe. Mm-hmm. We're guessing somewhere around 27, so we're kind of putting our numbers on that. Mm-hmm. But I do know that my grandfather started working in it in 1948. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was owned by the Benson family, who had bought it from the... the family that owns the Friendly Gus.
The Gusses. Yeah.
The
Friendly Gusses.
No.
No?
Not Ladson.
No, it's all.
Oh, no.
Cochran.
Yeah, Cochran family. Yeah. I'm sorry. Cochran family is the one who started, a branch of the Cochran family actually started Blue Ribbon Bakery. I'm sorry about that, guys.
No, you're good.
You're good.
They started somewhere around 27. And then in World War II, Mr. Benson out of Athens started buying up independent bakeries in small towns like we have now, like Williamson's is now. He started buying these up because he figured he could get more. He figured out that he could get more flour, the more bakeries that he owned. So he bought up a bunch of independent bakeries from Athens through Dublin, Fitzgerald, all the way down. Huh. And then in 1965, he started selling them off. Well, my grandfather had been working in the bakery since 1948 and established a great rapport with the Benson family. So he was able to buy the bakery from the Benson family in 1965. So from 48 to 65, he worked in the bakery. And from 65 until 1997, he owned the bakery. Now, the way I look at it, we're running up on 100 years, and most of that time, Williamson's been on the wall, has been in the back,
uh-huh.
or on the front of the bakery, and up until today. So that makes me proud.
Yeah, that's really absolutely. Cool.
Yeah, really
absolutely.
Big deal.
So,
now, when he bought it, your granddad, was it downtown?
It was downtown. Yes.
I remember that.
It was downtown until around 97. And the lady that actually owned the building wanted to sell it. And he wasn't able to buy it at that time. At that time in 97, in 97, in that area, 87 to 97, you had this with grocery stores
mm-hmm.
coming online with these, with bakeries. Which you didn't have up here. If you think about it, back in the day, the Piggly Wiggly downtown didn't have a bakery in the back. They had a meat department, but they didn't have a bakery.
Yeah.
And those grocery bakeries started coming online, and it tremendously hurt his business.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't able to buy that building, and that was 87, not 97, but 87. That he did that he moved it downtown. Moved it to the Oak Shopping Center.
Uh-huh.
So, I remember him, or I remember my dad telling me that he had to go down to CNS and get a loan, mm-hmm. $75,000, just to move the bakery from downtown out to the Oaks, and still have enough little padding to help him over.
Uh-huh.
Needless to say, he did when he did sell the bakery. 10 years later, he was able to clear all his debt, and mm-hmm. when he made the sale.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Mr. Mackey, Morris Mackey, bought it. And let me tell you guys, there's two families I'm very thankful for. not to mention my mother's and my father's families, but the Mackeys and the Haskins.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because those were the two families that kept it going.
Mm-hmm.
When my grandfather wasn't alive or I wasn't around or anything like that, they kept it going.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept the Williamson name on it. It was a no-brainer to do that. So
yeah, agree. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And you told us before we started recording that your grandfather only did three kinds of donuts back whenever he had it.
Yeah, we'd always try to get him to do something else, and he wouldn't have nothing. He wouldn't have anything with it. You know, he'd want to do, you know, because if you put anything else on something, on that donut, and you spent the time to put something else on that donut, then you couldn't charge enough to pay for that donut in his eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
People pay for stuff a little bit more nowadays.
So back then,
people pay for crazy stuff.
Yeah. It was just glazed and chocolate covered.
And they had to be chocolate covered. You just didn't, like, some of them have just the chocolate on the top. His had to be
mm-hmm.
coated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wanted his coated.
Yeah.
So, and then the
good man. Good man. That's the way you
smart
need to
man.
Do it. Hey, that's great.
And then he did his field donuts too. Mm-hmm. So.
So, I hate to ask now, how many different variety of donuts?
Oh, good Lord.
Do you do now? Would you give me a number? Are we talking 30 or are we
yeah,
talking 20?
I would say in the under 30. But my daughter has just added 3, 6, about almost maybe 8 new ones.
Really?
Over the last 2 weeks.
Are you serious?
That she just came.
Because she's your daughter. Bro. She's allowed to do that.
she's a pistol ball and she's on it. You know what I mean? She's a go-getter. She really is. And
she came in and said, "This is what we do now."
Right. She's a take control kind of girl. You know, you just got to kind of keep her focused on the prize.
Point her in the right direction.
Keep her focused on the prize. Otherwise, it kind of widens out.
You just kind of
narrow her in a little bit. And we all are like that.
All
of us were at one time. I know at 27, when my grandfather was selling the bakery, I was so upset, guys. Oh, my gosh. My world was coming to an end because he and I had been talking for a year to 9 months about me paying him for the bakery.
Really?
Working it. Yes. But he was having pen strokes.
Mm.
So all his short-term memory was gone.
Mm.
He had no memory of us.
With those conversations.
Those conversations.
Working all that out.
And then he had one of them ended up being a little bit stronger than the first few. And I had gone to Mr. Mackey, the second owner. I had gone to him because he had gotten an appraisal done of the bakery. Maybe 3 to 5 years before that. So I went to him and I was like, "Mr. Mackey, you still got that appraisal?" Because I was trying to get it together because Grandpa and I were talking about it, you know? Well, he had a pretty severe stroke and it kind of diminished things away. And Mr. Mackey took the opportunity to go to Grandpa's power of attorney at the time and bring him a great deal for my grandfather. One that would clean him out of that debt that he had gotten into and put some money in his pocket. And it was more than I could do at the time as a 27-year-old. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
And as much as I was heartbroken that I didn't get it at 27, the Lord knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because
mm-hmm. I was.
Lived and everybody
right. Because I was. And that's when I'm going to pull this back to being like my daughter Rachel. Is at when I was 27, I was like a shotgun. You know what I mean? We all were.
Yeah.
You just were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You just know where. And it took me 20 years to tighten up to where I needed to be to run this like it needs to be, and understand what my grandfather did for the community and what he meant to the community as a, it's just a symbol. If not just a symbol of a man walking around in a white hat and a white shirt and a white pair of pants. And being a part of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what I remember. And how, tall was he? He was
6'1" But his demeanor.
And that
10 feet tall.
Right. And that white outfit. You know, you know, I wear my white hat like I am now and my white shirt every day at work. Him. Yeah. I mean, it's not because I think that's what a baker needs to wear. It's because it's what my grandfather wore.
Right.
Yeah. And I won't, like Derek just said, as a kid, that's what you remember.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a whole.
I thought you were going to say 6'4", seriously.
No.
I thought he was taller than that.
No, he was about 6'1". My grandmother, his wife, was almost 6'2".
Really?
Oh, yeah. My dad was 6'6".
Your dad was a big man.
My dad was 6'6".
Mike was a big man.
Big Mike. Yeah. I mean, he didn't get that name. You know, he earned it.
Many people stand taller than me.
Right. He was a mountain of a man and awesome.
And I think it really speaks a lot to what your grandfather did, kind of how he affected the community and everything for somebody else coming in and buying it and thinking that the name and like everything has to stay the same because he's built this kind of icon in this town, you know, and wanting to keep it all the same and keeping the name on it because he had grown it to so much bigger than just himself and what a staple it was to the community.
It's great that you say that because his – I don't know what you want to call it, mantra or motto or quality and consistent quality.
Oh, that's a good one.
Consistent quality. Uh-huh. And in all this, you know, it has to be consistent. They can't taste one way one day and the next way the next day. They might both be great, but
if
something's not right.
You want to know what you're getting when you come in there to order something. Sure.
And at the bakery, you – 9 times out of 10, you can count on that. Now, with that being said, it's not easy to make a scratch donut. Mm. I mean, you just don't. It's not like 98% of the yeast donut mom and pops out there right now. 98% of them use a mix.
Right.
Nothing's wrong with it. It tastes great. It's going to stay in the case a lot longer. You know, it's going to stay in the case 2 or 3 days. Where mine, I have to make mine for the day because it's only got flour, shortening, sugar, milk, water, baking powder, salt, yeast, love. A lot of love.
Exactly going to hold up in a container in a case. A lot of love.
No. You know, if we just sat a Williamson's here and then the double K over here. We won't say the name of it, but we'll set it over here. I'm serious. You come back in 10 days, you're still probably gonna have a little spring to this one,
like a McDonald's French fry in the car.
Right. But now this one is gonna be dried up, like a brick.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Not that we had ever any leftover very much throwing up.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many of us sat
but
around.
If we ever did, bro.
I was about to say it was. Three of you guys.
I can remember this is funny, but I can remember as a kid spending the night with a friend of mine and his mom coming in the next morning and saying, "We got donuts." And my brain's like, "We got Williams's. Let's go." And she had bought a dozen frozen from the grocery store. Remember when they used to have them?
They used to have frozen donuts?
Frozen donuts in the grocery store. I'm not kidding.
Yes.
And she had microwaved them, and I was like, this is garbage.
Brian never stayed over there again. He wasn't even friends with that kid anymore after the end of it.
I'm not even kidding. I don't even remember his name. I forgot.
So I've got a story. I got a story to tell real quick.
He's dead to me.
I guess this is more of a confession because I like to do this during the podcast. So
he does, actually. I don't know why.
One time at one of my past employers.
I know where you're going, dude.
I don't. Let's hear it.
I have an idea.
Well, they fed us breakfast, so they went and bought a bunch of Williamson's donuts. I don't remember how many there were. And I was in a leadership position, and I probably shouldn't tell this, but I've already started, so I'll continue. So all the donuts that were left, and there were some that were left, and I really liked the chocolate ones. And so I took maybe it was two boxes of chocolate, two dozen back to my office. You know, let's just say it was at 10 o'clock. Everybody was done with breakfast, so I had them in my office the rest of the day. And I don't know exactly how many I ate, but I continued to – I didn't eat lunch that day. I continued to just eat the donuts.
That's still lunch, but okay.
But it was that was what my breakfast – you know, maybe I ate two or three because I didn't want to look greedy in front of everybody when everybody was in the break room.
But he's sitting there on two dozen in the office.
But nobody knew that, though.
He left home – they go home that night with three donuts.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I ate donuts that afternoon into, like, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I got hungry again. I'd go get another one going – this probably is not good for me.
Definitely not. My diabetes.
Exactly. But it was, yeah, that's, and they were all of the ones I got were chocolate too, so I just kept eating them. And wouldn't, and then I maybe told one or two people, man, you ain't going to believe how many donuts I've
eaten. Y'all probably don't know this, but I'm also a donut baker myself. I make them at home, not quite the same way. I use Pillsbury biscuits.
Oh, my God.
Fry them.
Okay, see, that's what I was about to say. Hold on. He said he's a donut baker.
Yeah.
And then that's why I was like, I got to listen to how he does this because
you donut, don't. Come on here and tell a story, Chris. Do not do that.
You don't bake a donut.
No.
Throw that baby in the grease.
I did grow up on that. My mom used to do that.
We used to get those from the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Exactly. Remember that?
On the Chinese buffet.
Tossed in sugar.
Yeah. That's exactly
tossed in straight granulated sugar. It's just fried biscuit.
Good to go. It's a fried biscuit.
And they would do it at the Macon Coliseum, too, at all the country concerts. They'd have a little hot mini donuts, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And dip them in that sugar.
I only went to one, and I don't remember what I ate.
Brian really doesn't either.
Reba.
Reba. Reba. Told that he had a donut like that.
I think Brooks and Dunn opened for it, something like that.
Wow.
That's a show right
there. That was a long time ago.
We saw Marty Stewart and Travis Tritt 2 years in a row up there.
You boys pay for them seats.
That was Diamond Rio. Yeah. We ever tell you about that?
Meeting in the middle.
Yeah. They went through the whole set, and they played that last, of course, their big hit. They played it last, and Derek and I were just standing up in the seats like this, just singing every word, and this big old dude, man, tapped us on our shoulder and said, "You boys pay for them seats?" And we were like, "Yeah." He says, "Well, sit your asses in them."
That was the end of it.
Sat it on
right on down.
Yeah, we sat on down and started going.
Is that fast enough?
Started singing real softly.
All of a sudden. You need a name you can trust. Call Buckeye Preferred Services. They are insured with over 35 years experience in custom tree felling, crown reduction, whole tree removal, as well as stump grinding and cleanup. They are cutting out your problems one limb at a time, serving the greater Middle Georgia area and beyond. You can find their Facebook in the description and call them at 478-484-2178 or 478-278-5574.
Heck yeah.
So, and this is, well, this has not been that long ago, so March is obviously huge. So,
monster.
You do the Shamrock Donuts, and do y'all do them starting March 1st all the way to the end of it? Do y'all start them in February? When do y'all start doing that?
We do not start till March 1st.
March 1st, okay.
On the Shamrocks. But the 2 weeks in February, we actually do heart shape.
Shoulder.
Red heart shape.
Shoulder.
It's the new dozen that women want.
Is that, you
know,
right?
Oh, those dozen roses. It's the new dozen. You know what I mean? Get your dozen in the white box.
I do know what you mean.
It's the new dozen. Yeah. It's what they want.
I love it.
So, yeah. We do those up until Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And they're made just like the Shamrocks. They're cut out by hand. Actually, this year I have someone trying to build us a shamrock cutter.
Brian probably help you out.
If they don't get it right, I can make you a prototype. Yes.
Don't wait on him though. Don't wait on his parody.
Yeah. But other than that, we use a 3-inch cookie cutter, and then we have to go back and pop a hole in each one of them, mm-hmm. whether if it's a heart or a shamrock. Mm-hmm. And they're not cheap, but they're worth it. I mean, they're made with love. They're mm-hmm. handled several times by several different people, and it's all, you know, no conveyors and machines here. It's all people power.
So y'all, so in during that time, y'all go. You go to work at what time? You and the folks that come in.
Well, start. I was going to ask that, but start off on a normal.
Okay. Yeah.
On a normal day, like not a February or a March day.
What average day?
Yeah.
An average day, they're coming in at 3.
I'm out.
Nope. Chris is going to bed.
I'm going to bed at three.
Yeah, on an average day, they're coming in at 3.
Wow.
So you got donuts ready to go out the door at what time?
6 o'clock.
Six. Okay.
And I'll be honest with you. With my daughter there, Rachel, there's usually the box is full and they're already done making because she's on them so hard to get them done. But we like to have hot donuts and a few fritters done at 6, and most of the box filled by 6:30. But now at 3, they come in and start mixing. We have cookies that we go ahead and make up, and we freeze like our cheese straws and stuff like that. We keep those in the freezer until we need them. We pull them out as needed and bake them the morning before. Mm-hmm. So like Grandpa. When Grandpa did it, he would make a batch. And when he would make a batch, it would those long trays, the long narrow trays, mm-hmm. you
yep.
see?
Yep.
He would make a whole, just a whole pan of those, and they would dwindle down after, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, maybe a week or so. But those cookies were, back then, the people wanted a snap of a cookie. Uh-huh. They wanted a harder cookie. You know what I'm saying? When I mean by snap, they wanted to pop. They wanted to put it in their milk and stuff like that and bring it back to life. Where, actually, I would start to say in our, you know, Gen Zs, mid-Gen Zs with the 70s and there, our age, we started getting into the softer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And behind us, you followed on with it. But so those kind of tides change with the different cookies and things like that. So we bake those cookies every day in the morning. So we don't, you know, have a bunch of leftovers and have a bunch of stale cookies out. So we do that during the day. While someone's doing the cookies, we've got a crew of 3 working on donuts. Somebody's cleaning the glazer, putting glaze in the glazer. Somebody's cleaning the fryer, put extra grease in the fryer. Somebody's got the donuts already. Somebody, when they first got there at 3 o'clock, started mixing up the donuts. And when I mean mix it up, is they have to go through and weigh each product.
Mm-hmm.
Bread flour, cake flour, by certain pounds to go in what we need for the day. And y'all, it's nothing guaranteed in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It's a complete shot in the dark. The person has to know what they're doing. That's why it's just like you can't hire just some Joe Schmo off the street unless you got somebody really good that can train them. But it's got to be mixed up correctly. And, you know, if it's humid outside,
yeah,
or if it's dry outside, or if it's wet and rainy, you know, just mm-hmm. Weather affects donuts so many ways. No matter whether they're in the proof box or not,
mm-hmm.
It's going to affect them. So everybody's listening to the dough in the bowl no matter what they're doing, because nobody wants it to get overbeat, because then you'll lose it. Well, everybody's listening, and then when he cuts it off, then somebody's going to go over and help him get it out of the bowl and put it on the table and start making what we call little babies. But we're breaking it down. What we're doing is we're breaking it down into 7.5-pound balls or babies, and, you know, each, depending on the batch, we do the batch by gallons, and you'll get 4 babies per gallon. So if we're doing 2.5 gallons a day of that day, there's going to be 10 babies on the thing, and you're going to roll donuts out of all those. And then you're going to take your scraps, and you're going to you're going to be doing donut holes. You're going to take your scraps. You're going to make your fritters. You're going to make you're going to make your cinnamon twirls. Everything's made from the scrap of the donuts. From the pig in the blankets all the way down to the donut holes.
It's a very scrap. Versatile dough.
It is. Not to mention, a lot of times we'll take the whatever, if we have any scrap that's been beat up too many times, that's not good to make a donut out of, we'll just take it and I'll mash it into a pan, make a big, big piece of it, let it rise, and put it in the oven. And I'll put it in the oven on like 170, 200, somewhere around there, and let it sit in there for about 4 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I got croutons. So, I mean, it's hugely versatile. I mean, it's crazy what you can get out of that donut dough. But basically, until you get the glaze on it,
it's just bread.
It's bread. It's just fried bread.
Dang, that's good. I never thought about that.
Yeah. But that's what we make this. We use the scrap to make the pig in the blankets, too. If you ever had a pig in the blanket, it's just butter and sausage.
True. It's just dough and a little smoky.
Yep.
Huh. Dang, that's great. I never really thought about the fact that until you fried up and put your chocolate frosting or glaze or spring, whatever you're going to do it's essentially just bread.
Bread.
It's just bread, man.
Bread.
Kind of like, you make funnel cakes with pancakes, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I'm assuming that, like, you're weighing all that stuff and you're putting it in the mixer. You got somebody there, they're like...
Sure.
No, you just... Push the button.
Oh, you got one of the electric ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you need to come by and see my mixer.
I do.
You've seen my mixer?
No, I need to come it by is, and see it.
First of all, it's huge.
I'm telling you right now, if you let me come in that back room, it'd be like make a wish, bro. Like, for real.
For real, but when you get this ready, before you get this ready, you need to swing by. We need to get some pictures on here for this.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay, Perry.
You've got to see
this. Okay, man.
You got to see this mixer. It's unbelievable. It's a Hobart. I have no. It was at the bakery before my grandfather bought it, so it's pre-65.
Ooh.
Pre-65. The fryer is actually an old Krispy Kreme. It's pre-65. Before, and I when I say pre-65, it could be in the 40s or whenever.
Right. Yeah.
Like my chocolate melter, I know it's got to be from the 20s.
Wow.
First of all, I cannot find a single one like it anywhere else. And it's a Vulcan, which really? is a common product nowadays. Yeah. But can't find it anywhere. Now, the oven that we use, you could get – I've got four racks in there that I could ride around – well, I have ridden around in there to clean it out. But so, you can get 250 pounds of meat on this – on my oven, but it holds 16 pan full sheet pans at a time. It's a pretty big monster. Nowadays, they probably could get, honestly, I could probably shrink the size of my oven and still up the baking capacity. You know what I'm saying? But it's just what was there, what my grandfather brought from downtown. Yeah. The only thing I know to use right now, so.
I didn't realize Hobart's was that old of a company. Mm. I worked in a lot of kitchens, seen some Vulcan stuff, some Hobart stuff. And
Vulcan's definitely the oldest product I have in there. It sure is. And the Hobart is a tough old girl. She's like old Battleship.
Hmm.
She's Battleship Gray.
Vulcan sounds like the bad guy on a comet.
Mm.
Not too far off.
No, not far at all.
Thank you.
Or something Star that just Trek. Shoots flames.
So, yeah.
From underneath.
So we go in at 3 a.m., everybody but Chris.
Chris is showing up.
And that's on a normal day. So when everything is just, so we'll say the Shamrock Donuts or the Heart Donuts that you're doing.
Ooh,
what time are you going in then?
It really depends on orders, but like on Valentine's, and I believe we did it on St. Patrick's this year, was 10 o'clock the night before.
That's insane.
And that's when we're, but that, when we go in that early and we're making them the night before, those usually your chocolates and your covered type donuts and everything. We're not making Shamrocks that late because we still want people to get fresh donuts. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. So we're trying to, time slots kind of fill up, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then you get bumped 30 minutes or an hour or whatever behind. But then again, you're still getting your fresh Shamrock donuts.
That's crazy, man. Can you imagine going in at 10 in the evening and then circling all the way back around until, what, 6?
Six.
Usually?
Six. Yeah. Six. Absolutely. That's crazy. Bro, I got some good people.
Yeah, I've got some.
You do. I have got
especially
some.
That early, because people don't like to get up and go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't find people that
no, you, want to do that. You absolutely don't. The pool is shallow at that time of the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very shallow. And but the ones that I have are ride or die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're all of them. All my morning people are ride or die type people. I mean, and the ones that come in that don't make the cut, you know. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty – I mean, as a small business like this, we're extremely close.
Y'all are like family.
Yeah. I mean, I refer to it as the bakery family when I'm talking about people that work for me – or excuse me, work with me or have – work with me in the past or anything like that. I still remember the first person that put in her 2-week notice. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's, you know, it's my, the turnover is, in the morning time, it's pretty quick. I mean, they're, I can usually tell somebody's going to make it or not within the, well, first of all, if somebody wants to come in and work donuts, 9 times out of 10, I don't even say fill out an application.
Come on, you
I say show up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We'll be here
tomorrow morning. Show up at 3 o'clock. I will see you then. Yeah.
Funny.
Just testing the waters. Is that
3 out of 10 may show up?
I'm about to say that's well, that's sure. The biggest hurdle.
May you know, show
that
up
first. We could probably teach you how to make it.
Yeah. May show up. May show up. May show up. I mean, the thing about it, though is, I mean, honestly, they're getting a skill.
Yeah.
When they go through, if they work 4 weeks at the bakery making donuts in the morning, they've learned a skill that they can use in other places. You know, it may not be in Dublin, but not just making donuts, but just handling dough in general, working in a larger type kitchen.
Baking in a general sense, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want the ones to show up at 3 that have gotten up and come into work, not the ones that can
probably need to go to bed.
It's 3 a.m.
My ride or dies.
Yeah,
they understand that.
Yeah,
they got. They pick up what you're putting down. They pick up what you're putting down. They do. They
That's
do. They understand, and they understand that I do not like to be woken up because somebody's not showing up.
Yeah.
Because they usually have to call me. Because usually, if somebody doesn't come in.
You're the best.
It's got to throw the whole.
I'm coming.
It's got to throw the whole team off.
It doesn't, because I'll be there. It doesn't matter. I'll be there. They know I'll be there, and they'll know that I'll do everybody's job back there. And I'm not going to say I'm going to do circles around those people.
Yeah,
but I can do every job back there, and I've done it right next to them. And there's nothing in the back that I haven't done, you know, or in the front, other than decorate a cake.
It's crazy that you would wake up to an emergency call at 3. Brian, last emergency call you had to call me for the pipe busting. What time was it?
9 o'clock, I think.
Were you able to wake me up?
No, I was not.
Had to send somebody to my house to wake me up for an emergency call at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And told her, too. Now he's going to be real grumpy now.
You're going to have to knock on the door. The dogs are going to be loud as hell.
Dogs
are going
to bark. Dogs won't bite you. He's going to be mad, but when he sees who you are and what you need, he'll simmer down.
Perry, how many employees?
Yeah,
do you have employees,
they know that when they call me, I just don't wake up well. I mean, I know I'm. When people see me, I'm a happy, nice person.
Oh,
but
yeah.
First thing in the morning, straight up out of bed.
It ain't fun.
Me neither.
Brr.
It's
rough.
I got you.
It's rough.
Yeah.
So, how many employees do you have, Perry?
We average 10. During busier times, we may go up to 15.
Okay.
But we usually report 10, so that's usually where we stay. Now I could handle 5 more cake decorators. If I found 5 more people that were talented enough to make cakes, I could employ them today.
So the talent is important, though. Because, I mean, I'll decorate a cake.
Well, yeah, but he said if somebody can decorate.
Didn't I say talent?
You did.
Yeah.
That, okay. That was
making
the,
sure.
Double check. That was the word. I did hear that.
I was making sure.
So he can ice a cake now.
Yeah.
The talent is where Betty Crocker is where I'm going to be disqualified for that.
Though. Yeah. And I'm about as artistic as this cup right here.
I get it.
I mean, I have some wonderful ideas about how to make things and make different things.
I think it. Y'all need to do it.
They're great ideas. That's how we got, you know, that's how you come up with your different types of specialty donuts. You know, just have a good idea and just throw it together, stuff like that.
What's the wildest donut that you've got? Was that what you
finna ask? I was just going to ask what's the craziest donut idea y'all hadn't done and succeeded in doing. Oh. I'm sure there's some wild ideas out there. I want to know
really,
what came to fruition.
Really? I mean, it doesn't sound like this, but it – you and I, the four of us, won't say that bacon on a donut's like wild, but
when we were,
you know,
with
some people's
about,
eyes, it's something. You know, it's a little wild.
When we were talking earlier about how your grandfather, you know, talking about doing all this extra stuff to donut and you can't sell it enough to make it worth it, the first thing I thought about was how would he feel about we putting like maple bacon on donuts these days?
Negative, Gus Ryder.
I thought, let's put some expensive pork on that sucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I love it. I'm with the bacon. It,
you know, I mean, it's probably like the quote unquote wildest, but I have tried a few different things. I got some lavender scented flavor, whatever you want to call it. Tried it on some donuts. It didn't really work very well, but we did put it in, we put it in blackberry cobbler, which is in season at the moment from Sunrise Farms here in Lawrence County. We get those directly from the farm and they bring them to us. And we do, have you seen the strawberry donut sandwiches we've been doing? Mm-mm. Oh, come on.
Strawberry donut.
So what we do is we take a square piece of dough, glaze it, cut it in half.
I have had those.
I was about to say.
Thank you. A member of our studio audience has just reminded me that.
I was the smarter of the two. So let me finish out here. We cut this glazed donut that's square in half. Now it kind of opens up. And then we put whipped cream. And then we put strawberries. But right now we're doing strawberries, or you can get a blackberry one. And then we top it off with the rest of the donut. And just because they might not be enough glaze, we put powdered sugar on it.
Well, sure. You know, you just
make it look
check,
pretty.
You know?
So we're also going to be doing that with a big hunk of peach as well. We're going to do the same thing with peach. Huh. So it's coming up. We're kind of a fruit kind of feel to it, you know, fresh fruit. Mm-hmm. When we first started doing the strawberries, we would cut them up the night before and they got kind of mushy and everything, a little bit too over macerated. But we find if we cut them up first thing that morning, then we get the look that we want. So, and the blackberries are, these blackberries from Sunrise Farms, y'all gotta, they're amazing. They're huge. I mean, they're like a 50 cents piece and just as sweet as you'd ever want. They're great on a donut. We're also doing blackberry cobblers for them then too.
Yeah, I bet that's good.
Branching all out, ain't you?
Yeah, all over the place. just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
That's exactly
that's it, man. That's it.
For all your professional and customized sawmilling services, contact Custom Sawmilling. They offer any product from Lowboy trailer flooring, countertops, bar tops, paneling, and flooring for your home. If you remove trees to build your future home, what better way to utilize those trees than making them into a product inside your home? Serving all of Middle Georgia, Custom Sawmilling is proudly veteran-owned and operated. Custom Sawmilling is located at 1607 Caps Browning Road, Wrench, Georgia. They can be reached at 478-279-3657. That's 478-279-3657.
Actually, I got that donut you're talking about. I was going to bring it to a customer of mine, and I ate it.
Mm. I hope that customer's not watching.
She wasn't expecting it, but it was like, Aaron was like, take this to your customer. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Aaron. Yeah, right, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Then, right now, yeah.
I'm Aaron, next time. You might do three, one for you.
Yeah. So, what is your favorite donut?
I was fishing to ask the same. We are on thing. No
fire. Y'all stop the cap down there now.
He owns the bakery. What is his favorite? Of course, you need to know that.
These are just the good questions.
That is
Brian. This is what the people want to know.
This is what y'all do whenever I'm late.
Listen, Derek. So what we're going to do is we're going to say all this dinner.
I'm waiting for this answer because I'm dying to know.
Well,
so are the people, Perry.
Just straight up. Glaze.
Just an original glaze.
Yeah. Bro.
Mm-hmm. You cannot.
To have one straight off the glazer and just get it straight off the glazer,
mm-hmm.
that is my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, you know, sir. So every time I bite into one of those, it's just like time machine.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Every time.
There's a, like the donut's round. Y'all know that.
No.
There's some of them have like a little bit of.
All right. So,
and that sweet spot right there is my childhood. You know what I'm talking about? Like that.
So they're not round. They're actually made. They're made from a scrapless cutter.
Okay.
Because if you had a bunch of cutter, if you had a bunch of just a round circles, you'd have all the edges around it. You see what I'm saying?
I got what you're saying. They're
so
not
this
round.
Is a. This I it's a. What is six?
It's one of those
six-sided.
Yeah.
No, that'd be five, wouldn't it?
An octagon minus two.
There you go. Somewhere around in there. Anyway, it's a scrapless cutter. So when we cut, we get a whole line of donuts. Well, that sometimes you see that funny-shaped donut is because that donut cutter has been cutting donuts at Williamson's Bakery since around 1954. The same one over and over and over. So the outsides are completely just destroyed, worn, broken, tattered. So what we have to do, which adds more time to the thing is we actually have to go cut the corners off these donuts. And I could use another cutter, but you can't find a scrapless cutter like that. I'm going to have to buy a 6-foot one and have somebody cut it down for me just to make handheld cutters because people don't cut them by hand anymore. They have machines that do them. They're on 6-foot. They're on 6-foot cutters.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's things like that. Hmm. I mean, it's just things like that, that people don't understand that you're charging $1.25 for a piece of dough, fried dough with some sugar. But it has been worked over and really, you know, taken care of and gotten to you with love. So I keep saying that, but it's true.
I feel like that's a cheap donut. Am I tripping? Is that not
$1.25?
Yeah. It's a
Krispy
Kreme.
For like a bakery donut?
Well, it's,
but if you're going like Dunkin' or something, obviously I might. But like for a bakery donut, I mean, that's not.
But before I bought the bakery, I was working for a company out of Charleston and
South Carolina.
Went to
just jump on in when you know the answer, bro.
King Street. I'm like, I'm gonna grab a donut on King Street. A glazed donut on King Street at that time in 2015 was $2.
Yeah.
That's before anything hit. Yeah.
And it wasn't as good.
It was a mix. It was the same mix. You could have gone to Daylight's and got Daylight Donuts and got.
Right. And,
you know, just, I mean, it's the same one. I mean, there's nothing special about it. So.
Yeah, I don't think that's too much for a donut at all. Goodness gracious. You can get people charge a whole lot more for a whole lot less these days.
Mm-hmm. A lot less.
How many cake decorators do you have? Were you going to ask that one too?
No, I wasn't going to ask that one. I know he doesn't have enough.
What did you just ask?
He doesn't have enough.
I know he doesn't have enough.
I didn't hear what Derek said. How many cake decorators do you have?
That's a great question.
Perry? Yeah, man. That's a great question. Thank you, Perry.
Jesus.
This is what every episode's like, where I swear to God, this is it. This is what it looks like.
So I got two immensely talented young ladies. Just added.
Immensely talented.
Immensely? Dude, you have no idea how talented.
Oh, I've seen a lot of the cakes. Yeah,
they are amazing.
It's crazy.
And we just hired a new young girl that's willing to do some learning and stuff like that. So I'm excited to have her on. But the number of talented people that have been there is amazing. I mean, it's just crazy the number of talented people that have come through mm-hmm. that just because I wasn't able to afford insurance for them or something, they had to go into better circumstances for themselves. Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna mention two names, Aubrey Gordon and Sandra Delgado. Mm-hmm. Sandra's down in Vidalia, and Aubrey's not really sure where she's at, but she's around somewhere close around. Aubrey's actually the one that I kind of give credit to all from her back, my employment of her training them. And she learned from the goddess of Dublin's cake scene is Beth Kramer. And that's who Aubrey learned from. Mm. But Miss Beth Kramer is, when she moved here to Dublin, worked for my grandfather. And y'all, I remember I mentioned a while ago that he was going through tough times then. And her cakes and her work with him helped her immensely through that time. Hmm. He was always thankful for her and for her work for him, even though, once again, kind of like I was just telling you about these cake decorators that I haven't been able to hold on to because of insurance. She had to leave him because basically the same thing, because she had a child and everything. So, mm-hmm. And I want to mention her too right now because she lost her husband, mm. Jeff Kramer, owner of Peppercorn a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So, just lost Jeff yesterday. So,
okay. Yeah, hate to hear that.
But she helped my grandfather through a lot. So that, you know, that's the history of our cake decorators. Is all, I say, all comes back to Beth, but I only remember my grandfather and another gentleman that he actually let me fry, Mr. Jack, back there in the back decorating cakes. That's who I remember decorating cakes. Mm. You know, they were, you know, nothing special, little flowers and buds and things like here, and they'll put some little toys on it and stuff like that. Yeah. And Grandpa always did the cakes when we got back from lunch. So we'd go work the pigs, go eat lunch, and he'd come back and do the cakes. Decorate whatever kind of cakes you had that day. Hmm. So, but we're always looking for cake decorators. I mean, just anybody with any kind of artistic ability. Hmm. It's just a different medium.
That's fair. Just put your hand down, bro. Put your hand down. It's going to be nobody on this panel here. I just could let you know before they even start talking. It's going to be none of us.
I do know these brothers well.
I draw a pretty good house and a sunset.
I got stick a crooked stick, man. You know what I mean? I can't do nothing. I can't do it.
All I can do is write happy birthday. And it looks like my grandfather's because I still write it in the cursive that I can see that where he wrote on the cake, happy birthday. It's cute. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, Brian, you said that there's a special, I'm not going to say event, but a special day coming up soon.
There is a special day coming
I believe you said it was
up.
This Friday. Tell us a little bit about
this Friday that. Would be June the 7th. It's always the first Friday in the month of June.
Always the first.
Perry, why don't you tell the people what that day is?
First Friday in June every single year is National Donut Day. Super excited. We have been excited about it. We started building it up really in 2017. We started building it up then. I think my first promotion was buy one, get one. That was just, I was just crazy.
In other words, what he said.
Ridiculous.
Is that not happening this Friday?
It ain't happening.
I'm going to come get a few dozen donuts.
It ain't happening. But it was my first year. I was just like, let's get this. Oh, man. Spitting nails, ready to get it done. It just didn't work. Didn't work out well. Second year, we came back with a great promotion that we've been running ever since then, and that has been donuts for a year. For every dozen, well, it used to be per purchase. Now it's per dozen donuts, you get a chance to win donuts for the year. Now, let me back that up. You have three chances to win donuts for a year.
So every dozen, you get three?
Mm-mm.
I'm very confused there.
So you put your name in the hat.
Right.
That ticket stays in there. We draw out three times. It goes back in each time we draw.
Oh, okay, okay. So there's going to be three pools.
There'll be three winners. People, three winners.
One. Now, can I get my name in for each dozen?
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
For each dozen you buy, brother. Yeah. Well, you'll get a ticket. You'll kick it. You got a ticket, so.
Yeah. Okay.
We kind of streamlined everything, so.
That's wild. Free donuts for a year means that Derek can come down there and just eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Derek would eat every donut. You know how thrifty he is? He would just eat the donuts for
two dozen a month.
Two dozen a month.
You got two free dozen a month.
That's nice, bro.
It is. I mean, it's
a donut a day.
You know what I'm saying? It
makes you sick almost. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good deal.
I mean, once a week for the kids or whatever, if you win that, or mm-hmm. or the office, or, mm-hmm. you know.
What's the busiest? It's the question I was thinking about earlier. What's the busiest day of the week? I have a guess that you sell more donuts, like by the dozen.
No. What day? Let's go.
I'm gonna guess on Fridays.
Friday.
And my reason is, it's end of the week. People buy for the office and take them to work with them. Hey, it's Friday. It's finally Friday, and I got donuts.
Before I sound ridiculous, what day are you not open?
Sunday.
Okay. Because I don't want to be like Monday, and he's like, we're closed Monday, stupid. All right, Derek, what do you got?
I think his reason makes sense, too. You close at what time on Saturday, too?
Two.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Friday. I'm gonna say Monday because you got to get that week started right. And I'm thinking if there's gonna be an office thing, I'm probably gonna bring something on a Monday because nobody wants to be there. Probably some donuts, maybe more people will be happier to be there on a Monday.
You're going out on a limb on that, but yes, number two.
Okay, number two is Monday.
Number one's Friday.
Y'all talked about this before, ain't you?
No, I mean so it's just he was thinking around the right lines. Yeah. I mean, you think about. Most things are grabbed on there. It starts
just,
just
for the record, this is Perry not earlier. Just in case the guys are double teaming on you and you're starting to feel like the long shark, ask what day I sell them. My man.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him it's for the office.
I love how you brought that up with like this idea of, oh, we can get a dozen on Friday and like have it for the kids through the weekend. Brother, if I buy a dozen of donuts, it is not making it to the end of the day. It is not making it to the end of the day.
But that promotion's been very well received very well. I mean, it gets a bunch of excitement up.
Yeah.
We try to get pumped up. We're going to have some good swag this year with some T-shirts and things like that.
I can't wait for that.
And not to mention the ooh, that character on the front of the bakery.
Go by and see that. I pulled up the other
day. Just don't be scared. This little kid was so scared the other day.
Really?
He's not talking, Mom. I'm like, no, it's just a painting.
Oh my God! Gotta go see
it. It is really, really cool. Yeah. Really cool, man.
Oh yeah, I gotta go see it.
It's traumatic every morning when I pull up and I see it. I'm just like, gotta make the donuts.
It's good, man. It's really good.
Well, listen, Perry. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all this with us. Real quick, let everybody know where you're at, when you're open, how they can reach y'all. What do y'all offer? Pitch the bakery. I'm sure everybody around here already knows it, but
pitch it out there anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. Pitch it out there and let them know you got the donut day competition drawing. Go get a dozen. Get your name in the hat.
Because we are breaking out of Dublin now. The podcast is growing.
That's
we're
true.
Over.
That's
we're,
true.
We're touching
Dexter.
Getting into Bleckley County.
Oh,
and,
just
we're,
a little
we're,
bit.
We're trying to move north. Over into Telfair County, but we're getting some.
You can't break
resistance.
Down into down in Durridge County or anywhere like that.
You can't break into Dodge yet, but we're trying.
We're almost in Dudley.
We're almost in Dudley.
Well, you can find us at we're at 1634 Veterans Boulevard since about 1988, and We're open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and Saturday 6 to 2. Donuts you can order the day before, most generally, stuff like that. You can cakes. I mean, we're booking up. If you've got a birthday in 2 months, you need to go ahead and get it in. It's crazy. But if you want a well-baked, wonderfully decorated piece of art, then you need to call us. So, and also on Facebook and TikTok. Got a TikTok up and running, and got my daughter Rachel on that. She's doing a great job. So
it's the way to go. It's the best free advertisement you can do.
It really is, and you get to see we do a lot of behind the scenes, like the whole morning kickoff thing. If you check us out on that, it's really good. Really good.
Now, what's the TikTok?
That's what I was just going to ask.
I just downloaded it last week. So
is it Winston's Bakery?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
See, I don't even know. Hold on, let me see. Shall I look this up real quick?
I was one of those people that made fun of Brian and the other coworker for the whole time they was watching TikTok, and then I finally downloaded it, and now I can't get off of it.
I get it.
Made fun of me for like 6 months about watching TikTok.
A long time.
And then he got off on Fridays at 12:30. I was at lunch, and he was supposed to be getting off. He was back in his office at like 1 o'clock. I said, what are you doing? He's like, man, I'm stuck on TikTok.
Well,
I sat there for like an extra half hour, especially off at 12:30. It's like 1 o'clock, bro. I was just having my dinner.
Yeah.
So where do you – like I said, I honestly downloaded this thing.
I just said it was wrong. Did you?
Thank you for helping me out with that.
The alley-oop, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's the MVP better.
Bringing it from downtown.
At Williamson's.Bakery, it looks
there
like.
There you go.
Williamson's.Bakery. So, yeah, go check them out there. Top-notch baked goods. You can't go wrong. Make sure you check them out. Make sure this Friday you go down there. Actually, no, don't go down there. I'm going to see if I can make mine be the only name in the hat. Stack the deck, if you will.
Whatever.
I'm sure that people that are listening are not going to do it. There and get you a dozen donuts.
And we will be doing some things on TikTok this Friday. So check us out.
Dude, I think she's going to be live. Y'all got a good following right now. You got a lot of traction on these videos.
Yeah, we just started up. Like I said, Rachel's she's doing a great job.
Yeah, man.
Super happy about it. Super happy with her job and what she's been doing with it.
Yeah, Williamson's.Bakery. Go check them out. Make sure you follow them on TikTok. Follow them on Facebook. Give them a call. Any of your, specialty cakes and stuff, they love to get it handled. Again, Perry, thank you so much for coming on. This has been an absolute pleasure. Everybody is now hungry. I hope y'all go off and enjoy your lunch. Real quick, just thank our advertisers, Buckeye Preferred Services and Custom Sawmilling. Thanks for all that y'all do to continue to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. T-shirts are in. Buy them up. We don't want them. We want to get rid of them. Get them from Brian at coffeeandketchuppc@gmail.com. That's a good wrap-up right there. We're going to kick it right there. Mavs in 4, Celtics in 4. Watch what I tell you. Y'all have a good week. Peace.